Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Schutte. Dustin, another week. We finished the regular season of college football. We're ready to look ahead to the playoffs. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. We got that last. I know there was some conflict here, but we got the last dose of regular season with Army Navy, and that game really lived up to the hype too. So that was. I'm sad that that's not a standalone game anymore because of the way the schedule falls. But man, that's always the capper to the regular season to me, and that was a phenomenal football game.
I love Army Navy football. You talk about rivalries, but you know what? Those are college players. Who knows? The following year, they might transfer to their, opposing their rival. Yeah. Army Navy, no. And I think it's legitimate. Army Navy. I mean, they could be off to the side, flipping a coin, calling heads or tails. And they're not going to want to lose to the other guy.
Right. And that's what makes it so much fun. And I know that I'm sure there have been plenty of blowouts, but it feels like over the last 10 years or so, it's just been a really good football game and really enjoyable. Usually there's also been some snow up in that Philadelphia area. And I don't know. It's awesome. I had to cover a basketball game through the first half, but I was able to see the second half of that game. And it's just so fun, and it's a unique style of football. So I'm doing great. The Army-Navy game always kind of rejuvenates me.
I'm with you on that. And the cliche is always throw out the records when these two teams face. It's actually legitimate when those two teams play. Throw out the record. It's like somehow it gets evened out.
Yeah, and then, it's legit. That's the one game, too. There are a lot of people that would always say, I don't care if we go, 0-11. We win that one game, it makes your season. That's another old cliche, but, I think that's one where it's actually true. Like, as long as we beat Navy or we beat Army, you feel pretty good about your season at the end of the year.
Well, the other part to that is it's a way somebody is going to make themselves a hero.
Yeah.
And where, yes, it's the same thing, sort of, in the rest of college football. You make a big play against your rival. I get it. But you make a big play in Army Navy, you're a legend.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. And it's also, I think now, so many people are fed up with where college football is going. NIL, direct payments, transfer portal, coaches moving so quickly, all of those things. This is kind of a reminder also of old school football.
No, that's a great point. And you got coaches who have been there for a long time. Now, I know Navy recently made a change, but that wasn't Ken Niumatalolo's decision. Jeff Munkin has been at Army for a while. They have it's kind of like we talked about this earlier this year when Penn State played Indiana. It's like you just absorb the game day. You're present in the moment. You're not talking about the playoff. You're not talking about conference championships or who did Indiana play or does Alabama deserve to be in. It's just we're going to have 60 minutes of really fun football. And it's like I said, I know there were some bowl games on Saturday, so it kind of seeped into it a little bit. But that to me is a one of my favorite games of the year.
It really is. And I had the opportunity, and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the week. When I first got out of school, I worked in Washington, D.C. For a company that sold to the military. So I got to deal with a lot of Army guys, Navy guys at the Pentagon. It means something to them. And especially if you get either a West Point grad or an Annapolis grad. In fact, the guy I work with most was an Annapolis grad who graduated with Roger Staubach. It meant a lot to him.
Sure.
So it added to the fun there. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get to some of the news stories in the Big Ten. And Dustin, got to start with Michigan and that absolute mess there. Here at Penn State, the coaching search really just devolved into a mess, or at least we thought it was a mess. Michigan said, step aside. Let's show you how it's really done.
Yeah. I mean, what is fascinating about all of this, and I don't know what's been put out there and confirmed, but there's been a lot of reporting that Michigan knew kind of about this for months. There was a previous internal investigation. They waited until after the signing period to make a decision to try to trap those kids to sticking at Michigan. I made this comment. Michigan now is like the LSU of the Big Ten. Like, there are no rules. There is no, there are no boundaries you won't go past. It is bizarre. And the fact that they tried to kind of, and I think a lot of people said this, and I actually believe it to be true too. If Michigan beats Ohio State and somehow they get into the playoff, is this something we even know about? Or does Michigan try to cover it up? Like, that's, to me, the thing that we've seen that in college football before. The second a coach, you know, you have some questions about him, sometimes things sort of seek out, and if you do really well, sometimes those things get covered up. See Urban Meyer at Florida.
Well, I'm with you on that. I think one of the best lines I heard, and maybe I even mentioned it previously, was Michigan can't help themselves but cheating on or off the field.
That's yes, I heard that too. It's 100% accurate.
Apparently, I mean, it's not making a false statement, is it?
No.
So it's factual, but it is fascinating. The word is that it's been an open secret, you know, what the affair that was going on with the head coach and a member of the staff. And I often, no matter what the topic, will try to compare it, what's happening in college football, to private industry. And, you know, when I hear fans get upset with players because they left for more money, my take is, wouldn't you leave for more money also in your own personal life? You know, if you got offered twice the money to work across the street, of course you would. And, you know, these kind of things, they happen in the real world. By the way, don't go to a Coldplay concert with your mistress. You know, another one of the lessons out in this world.
That was an excellent poll, Jim. I thought you were going to give us like a tell us a story about you at a Coldplay concert. Nope, you're going straight for the CEO.
Yeah, you know, and there are things, these things happen out in the real world too, Dustin. You know, mate, you and I might be pretty naive and not think it does, but, you know, it's the reality. And it's, again, if you want to look for advice, Nick Saban apparently in his book said, you know, don't have an affair with someone who has less to lose than you do.
That sounds like sound advice. I wonder, this is really not a good conversation. I was going to say, I wonder how much sometimes there's a conversation between, I don't know anything about this, but between party A and party B, you're not home a lot, whatever. How much of a conversation is sometimes just like, look, you do what you do. Don't embarrass me. Don't bring it home. And then Sharon Moore broke those two rules. I'm not saying, look, I'm just saying in some relationships, maybe sometimes you don't, that's not me to judge. I'm just saying there's probably usually a rule or two about just don't embarrass me. Whatever you do for the love of God, don't embarrass me. And Sharon did way more than that.
Just a quick question. As we're recording this, you're obviously at your home. Is your fiance within listening range as you?
No, you give us these rules.
just checking, Dustin. Just checking. It is stuff that goes on, but you, no discretion there. He risks so much. And apparently from reports, even after he was arrested, he was still risking things.
Yeah.
Not a smart guy. Lost millions of dollars in all of this. But I don't want to lose the college football part of this, which is Michigan now, as we are recording, they are still searching for a new coach. And Dustin, at Penn State here, we saw this. All the big names get mentioned. Is this just standard procedure that every school overrates the value of their head coaching job? Oh, sure, we could get it. Kalen DeBoer, he's got Alabama playoff team. Yeah, he'd leave Alabama for Penn State. He'd leave Alabama for Michigan. Are fan bases just kidding themselves?
Probably. There's probably also an element of agents wanting to make more money for themselves and their client. So, you know, Kalen DeBoer may say, hey, this is a prime opportunity, or Kalen DeBoer's agent may say, hey, this is a prime opportunity to throw his name out there and see if we can, you know, get a better contract. And sometimes I think that's valid, sometimes maybe not. But from the fan standpoint, I think most places overvalue what they like, who they, their program, who they can bring in and what they like. So they, Matt Campbell, Kalen DeBoer, Kurt Cignetti, they rattled off all the big time names, Jim. And a lot of those guys, obviously Matt Campbell just signed a new contract at Penn State. Kurt Cignetti's up, you know, new contract at Indiana. Kalen DeBoer is at the premier school of college football at Alabama. He ain't leaving for Michigan. So I did see some other names that I thought were interesting. Kenny Dillingham, that might be an upgrade for him. Jed Fish, he's been at Michigan before. So I think there are some actual legitimate candidates out of there. But sometimes I wonder, is it the fans who are putting these high expectations that they can get anybody in the world? Or is it maybe the agent tossing some names out there so maybe he can get a little bit better payday? Penn State's a little familiar with that, I think.
Yes, they are. I'm thinking, I'll know it's really reached a breaking point when we start hearing Matt Rhule rumors to Michigan. All right, that's it for quarter number one. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Dustin, I'm Jim. You know, Dustin, we were talking about this Michigan coaching situation and the coaching search. And you brought up a great point. This was before we got on the air, that if you're a coach, let's say, forget the Kalen DeBoers, Matt Campbell is now at Penn State, not going anywhere. Marcus Freeman's not leaving Notre Dame for Michigan. But if you're that next level, and the couple names you mentioned, Kenny Dillingham, he's at Arizona State, doing well there. Jed Fish is at Washington, doing well there. Michigan would be a bigger job for those two guys, but has Michigan put themselves in a position where some of these coaches might just say, you know what, I'm not sure I want to be part of that mess?
I personally, that's what I would be asking myself. Like, am I going to go into the lion's den, You know, and is that going to be worth it? Do I feel like I can make a major jump in terms of what I'm doing? Do I think I have a better chance to make a national championship, to make the college football playoff? Like, if I'm Kenny, part of me always thinks about this. If I'm Kenny Dillingham, yeah, Michigan's a great job. I can have better recruits, and I may have a better chance of getting into the winning a national title. But if you're at Arizona State, you're playing in the Big 12. And it's much easier. Now, it's you get a slimmer margin of error, but it's probably easier to win the Big 12 and try to get into the playoff. So, you know, that's just one example. I don't know. Everything that's gone wrong with Michigan, like they've been involved in a cheating scandal, as you mentioned, on and off the field now. It doesn't seem like their administration knows what it's doing. It just seems like it's – I don't know if I – slimy, sleazy kind of feels like the right words to use with the Association of Michigan in their football program right now. So do you want to be a part of that? What I will – kind of wonder is, do they maybe try to go with a, how do you say this? Like, it's not going to be the splash hire, but the safe hire, where actually we don't care what we do on the field for the next 2 years. We just have to clean up our image. Do they go for somebody who has a, you know, squeaky clean image maybe?
I'm sure there's somebody at Michigan who's saying that. I'm also pretty sure that the rest of the group is saying, we want to win.
Yeah.
And those voices shout down the, you know, let's clean up our act voice. But I think what it will do is open up. If we look at this whole coaching carousel that happened, other than Lane Kiffin, who were the big names who moved, Dustin?
The big name coaches who moved?
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Campbell.
But again, you know, this wasn't, oh, gee, we got the coach from Alabama or we got.
Well, that's true.
It was, you know, Iowa State. Now, Matt Campbell's name has been mentioned. And I think you're right. Outside of Lane Kiffin, he probably was the biggest name. His name's been out there for years. And I think it was a home run hire for Penn State. I really do. But, you know, all these schools who had openings, you know, like Florida and LSU and Penn State, probably, in my opinion, other than Lane Kiffin, probably the biggest home run hire, big name, was James Franklin, the Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I still think that one's going to work out really well. But, yeah, you're probably – it's funny. I completely forgot about that. I don't know why. I just completely forgot about James Franklin getting hired.
So much has happened since then, Dustin. I think that's why.
It's hard to keep track of all this nonsense that's happening in the offseason.
I guess in my mind, we could come up with names of pretty big name coaches who've moved and been successful. But I think more often than not, it hasn't always panned out. And you get. We saw Luke Fickell at Wisconsin didn't work. Scott Frost going to Nebraska didn't work. At USC, it's still open to debate whether that worked out. So how many times do big names moving work out versus if you give the names of the best coaches in the country, Kirby Smart was a coordinator, right? Yep. Dabo Sweeney came up, Ryan Day. Most of the biggest, and even if you go Kurt Cignetti, who was probably the greatest success story of the last 2 years, nobody knew his name when he was coming from James Madison.
Right. And I think it can be hard to find that balance. Because we've seen coordinators who do amazing. I mean, all what you should learn from this is like everything is you're taking a swing for the fences, and sometimes you're going to hit a home run and sometimes you're going to strike out. Because we've seen other, you know, Sam Pittman was he the offensive line coach at Georgia? I don't think he was a coordinator, but everybody was excited how he was going to be a perfect fit at Arkansas and withered out. You know, he did okay there, but couldn't ever get them over the hump. Meanwhile, Dan Lanning, from Georgia to Oregon, has had some of the most, you know, successful years outside of Chip Kelly in program history. So it's such a tough balancing act, but you could look at, I'm sure there's a couple different names you could look at and say, yeah, they went from G5 to Power 5, Kurt Cignetti being one who they've had a ton of success. And then there's others that maybe it's beneficial to have been in an elite big time program. Like, look at how many Nick Saban assistants have turned into head coaches. How many have been really successful? Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, Cignetti was on that staff. Mike Locksley, who Jim still contends had one good quarterback for 3 years. So, but you get my point. Like, sometimes those things really work out. There's other times when, you know, Purdue hired Ryan Walters from Illinois and had two of the worst years in program history. It's you never know.
Well, what I think is has to be factored into this is the program itself versus just the coach. And I always point out, at Ohio State, you had the offensive coordinator, Ryan Day, took over this really successful Ohio State program. You had Greg Schiano, the defensive coordinator, takes over Rutgers. I'm thinking the bigger variable than Ryan Day versus Greg Schiano is Ohio State versus Rutgers.
Yeah.
I think, Dustin, if Ryan Day had the Rutgers job and you had the Ohio State job, you would be the better coach.
I would say so, yes. That's a no-brainer. And some of it is too, like, Kirby Smart went to Georgia, took over a really good program and had success. Dan Lanning has access to all the money in the world out in Oregon. So those are certainly factors.
Well, it is. And the other thing, we're going to see at Virginia Tech, I think, is a good model where I believe James Franklin will be successful also. That doesn't mean national championships, but Virginia Tech will be a much better team under James Franklin than it was under Brent Pry. But along with changing from Brent Pry to James Franklin, they've also come out and publicly said they are going to invest $40 million more into the football program this year than last year. Besides Brent Pry saying, hey, where was that money when I was coaching? You're going to get a lot of folks patting James Franklin on the back if he wins more games, saying how he's the much better coach than Brent Pry, but you're not comparing apples to apples, are you?
No, I mean, a lot of those things are, there's a lot of different variables to measure there. And, you know, you didn't get the same support if you're Brent Pry. And he also, like, that was his first head coaching job. And I think what people need to realize is those are really tough jobs for people who have never been head coaches before, because you have to be a little bit different. Virginia Tech's not on the same level as Penn State or Michigan or Ohio State or some of those other programs. So yeah, I think James Franklin getting more support obviously is going to help him out. I think also James Franklin just having head coaching experience, even if he was going from Vanderbilt to Virginia Tech, I think he's in a better position than Brent Pry was.
Yeah, and James Franklin coming in to Virginia Tech had the leverage to say to Virginia Tech, look, it can't be the same way. You need to invest more money into this or I'm not coming. And James Franklin had that leverage. Brent Pry did not.
Yeah, that does make a difference. And so are you happy to be at the school, or is the school happy to have you? And I think that makes a big difference.
It really does. He's in a position to demand those things, which, by the way, all of this, Dustin, it makes you look at Kurt Cignetti and what he's done at Indiana, be just totally amazed by it. This was not a program. He wasn't the big name who could come in and say, spend more money. You're closer to that. I would imagine they're investing now, especially after they've tasted success. I mean, they ripped up his contract, gave him an extension. But still, when he first got to Indiana, I'm not sure he had the leverage to demand all those things, and he still came out with a winner.
Yeah, and it's put Indiana in a really good spot. I think what people don't realize, because Indiana has been bad for so long, they have access to a lot of money. And the fact that they're now putting out a winning product, that obviously people are going to donate more. And so that's a big – but Cignetti bet on himself. And I think I do wonder if Indiana's schedule hadn't been so light last season, I kind of wonder if he gets that contract extension, if he gets, you know, all this investment, because, you know, if they would have played Penn State, they did play Ohio State. If they had played like one Power Four team, maybe in non-conference, and you're sitting at 8-4, 9-3, maybe, does he have the same pull? Would they have still had this same size of success? I don't know, but the point is he came in, got to an 11-1, got to the playoff, and now Indiana is making a major investment in football, and it already has a little bit turned college football on its head.
It really has. He set the bar so high now for any of these new coaches. It's the new standard. Well, if Indiana could do it, why can't we? Guess what? It ain't going to happen for everybody. All right, that's it for quarter two. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three of our show. He's Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. Dustin, lost in all of these other conversations, coaches changing and so on, we've got the playoffs coming up this week. And my take on it has been, and I think you agree with this, the 12-team playoff is a success. It's given us so much more good football, not just these actual games, but how the season finishes. Games are more important.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen more teams be involved, and if you can, especially if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, like if you can get to the championship game or if you can end the season with two losses, you're going to put yourself in a good spot. And I think in November, there's still a lot of teams that are fighting for that. And if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, maybe sometimes if you're the ACC, and it gave us plenty to talk about. Like there were a lot of teams that were in the running late in the season. So that's where I think this is a win, is when you have more teams competitive because they still think they have a shot for the playoff.
Well, let's face it, for as much good that goes on, there's some things that are just really sad, really, really depress us, Dustin. Things like Notre Dame with their two losses not making it in.
And then throwing
I had trouble saying that with a straight face, by the way.
And then throwing a hissy fit when they don't get their way. I mean, just the worst. That was bizarre to me. Somebody put this out, and I almost agree with it, but I don't want to like put kids in a position to get injured, or you know, wreck their future, whatever. If you decline on a bowl game, then you should be automatically ineligible for the playoff next season.
Ooh.
That's... Right. So even if Notre Dame says, you know what, none of our stars want to play, those guys who are going to the NFL, they can still opt out, but we still have to field a team. I mean, it frustrated the hell out of me, Jim, because to me, it's such a slap in the face to the sport And if those kids decided they didn't want to play, that's great. But I'm sure there are some kids on that team who did want to play one more time, and now they don't get the opportunity to do so. It's just like that's such a bad look.
And to me, that whole we can't field a team or won't be competitive. What do you think it's like when you're Villanova or East Podunk playing Georgia or Alabama in November? Those are greater mismatches. I mean, if you're a kid who's on scholarship at Notre Dame, you're a better player. Even if you're young and inexperienced, you are more capable of being competitive than East-West Podunk U against some of these powerhouse teams. So I don't really buy that. I think you hit it accurately to start with. It was a hissy fit, Dustin.
Yeah. I mean, they took their ball and they went home. And it was such an SEC move, Jim. And here's the other thing, too, that why Notre Dame should get zero sympathy for that. How many times have they had the option to join a freaking conference? And this would not, if they were in a conference, I don't want to say would not have happened. But there's a less, to me, you're at least going to have, if you're in the SEC, Greg Sankey is going to back you. If you're in the Big Ten, Tony Petitti. If you want to go ACC, Jim Phillips. And then for Notre Dame to say, well, the ACC didn't support us in our mission to get, like, why would the ACC want to put an independent football school in over a member, full member in Miami? Like, for being this smart school, they're not very intelligent.
Well, it's like the conference commissioners. They see it as their job, no matter how unreasonable it is, to lobby for their schools. Let's face it. Greg Sankey's lobbying for the SEC, I think in large part, helped Alabama with their third loss get into the playoffs.
Well, they were preemptive about it, too. He came out in the summer. I don't remember if it was June or July or August, one of those months. And he basically said, hey, this is how we should be judging teams that get in, and created his own metrics and his own strength of schedule, basically, to, you know, strong arm more SEC teams in. And what did they get? They got five this year, correct? Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. So, yeah, that is a big thing. But I understand maybe why there's some frustration. Maybe you think you should be in over a three-loss Alabama, whatever the case is. Understand it. But you can't blame the ACC when they're trying to get – they're not going to get any money if Notre Dame gets in. They will get money if Miami gets in. It's not in their best interest to support you.
Exactly. But, Dustin, you missed one very important point. They're Notre Dame.
I know, right? They're Notre Dame. They're going to bring in more money than anybody.
And, you know, it leads to there's a couple things that this all leads to. And we saw with the first of all, with Notre Dame, I think the rules are actually going to change next year, that if they are within the top 12, they automatically get in.
Yeah. Which, go ahead.
Yeah, rules for thee, rules for me. Much different. And, you know, that's a problem. And you have, anytime you go outside of just saying, hey, we're going to put the top 12 teams in, you're going to have controversy, even to the point of this rule of the, it wasn't the top four conference or the Power Four conference champions get in. It was the top four conference champions. ACC, you allowed yourself to have a five-loss Duke team as your conference champion. Your own fault, your self-inflicted wound came from yourself because of your stupid tie-breaking rules.
Right, yeah. Yeah, if they would have just gone by, like, overall win-loss record in the next column, it would have been fine. But whatever. I mean, I don't feel bad for any of these people in this situation. The other thing I'll say about Notre Dame is they're always complaining is the word I am going to use. But at the end of the season, well, we have to get in because of this, or, you know, for that reason. And they say, it's not fair. We don't have a conference championship game. We can't get you that one extra data point. Whose fault is that? You have every opportunity to play in a conference championship game, but you refuse and you want to keep the NBC money to yourself. And I've said this before too, at this point, if Notre Dame is wanting guarantee that they get in as a top 12 team, if I'm the Big Ten or the SEC, I don't schedule them. I say, nope, we're not doing this. We're not going to give them the strength of schedule to edge out one of our other schools. They're going to throw this hissy fit. They're going to try to strong arm their way into the playoff. We're not going to give them the strength of the schedule. And it would be good if all four leagues would do that. The ACC probably can't. But look at the ACC this year. If Notre Dame was in the ACC and in a similar situation, if they won the championship, they would have gotten in. But they wouldn't have otherwise. It's not a very good conference. So,
do you know what, Dustin? This idea that the power conferences should just refuse to schedule Notre Dame, that is out and out just spiteful on your part. I like it.
I've been saying it, like, if they don't want to join, then make them play, San Diego State, San Jose State, Marshall. Make them play all those other schools and don't let them get their ranking up into the top 12 spots because they don't have the strength to schedule.
And exactly. And then, you know, talking about the ACC, with Duke with their five losses, their complaint was, well, look, we have these power four wins that James Madison does not. And, you know, as you're talking about Notre Dame having to play all those teams, you stack up your wins, you know, like by scheduling, oh, I don't know, like UConn. And, oh, wait a minute, Duke lost to them. And my point, it's like what we talked about a year ago with Alabama. Don't lose to a mediocre Oklahoma. Don't lose to Vanderbilt. You know, this year, don't lose to Florida. If you're Duke, don't lose to UConn. It's not complicated.
Right. And, it's not that difficult. And then when you get into a certain spot, you got to know that you're not, you just have to cut your losses. Like, we won the ACC. You should celebrate that and then go enjoy your bowl game. Like, you have to know that you're not going to get into the playoff.
Right. Just, hey, you lost five games. And everyone who listens to the show knows I'm, you know, a Manny Diaz fanboy. I really am. Shut up. And now I don't even know if he's the one who's been saying it or if it's administrative people. But take your five-loss team, go to the Weed Whacker Bowl and, you know, display the ACC championship trophy in your trophy case and just be quiet. But Dustin, this also leads to the next conversation with Notre Dame. Wasn't the only team though, who bagged out of their bowl game. We had some other schools doing it too. Have we reached the point where, you know, the bowl games are obsolete?
Yes. And that was going to happen. Nick Saban said it before we extended to four teams in the playoff. Like, the bowl games were going to become irrelevant, and they have. And I think it's still a good thing to strive for if you are a, if you're at certain programs or if you're trying to see growth. And basically what it has become is, you know, in most situations, not every situation, but most situations, it's a chance for, it's basically a glorified spring game. Like, you get a lot of those younger guys, freshmen, whatever, redshirt guys might be able to go in and get some snaps, but some of your NFL, obviously your NFL guys are going to opt out because they got more football ahead. And there's no incentive. I would, if college football wants these games to matter again, I think you've got to put more of an incentive in there. And whether that's, you know, some sort of NIL contract, you know, whatever the case might be. Like, I think about the college basketball crown last year. There was some sort of, maybe like $100,000 NIL prize if you won or if you got top four or whatever the case might have been. So, and a lot of those major players that I know that's not the NCAA tournament, but nobody really celebrates winning the crown. but there was some incentive there and you saw everybody, you know, decide to play. And I know football's a lot different, but if they could do that, I think it would help.
All right, Dustin, that's going to be the final word for quarter three. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why I still like the bowl games. We'll do that after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim. He's Dustin. Dustin, we were talking about the bowl games before we went to break. And here's the thing. You said these are nothing more than glorified spring games now, these bowl games. And you know what? I'm okay with that. And maybe I'm looking selfishly at, you know, the team that I watch, Penn State. But if to give names that people are familiar with, Drew Aller, he was injured, so we started to see Ethan Grunkmeyer. But if Aller had played through the season, going to the same bowl game, Aller had opted out, I'd say, great, I get to see Ethan Grunkmeyer play, potentially the quarterback for next season. Same thing at running back. As of this recording, we have Nick Singleton opting out. We don't know yet about Catron Allen. But if Allen also opts out, guess what? We get to see the young running backs who there's a lot of potential there. I'd like to see them. And I'd like to see them in a game against someone wearing a different color uniform. Now, is this going to tell me whether Penn State is better than Clemson or not? No. Do I care? No. But I get to watch this game and see the young guys play, Dustin.
No, I think that's completely fair. And I think if you are a fan of a specific team, now you know these days, like, these bowl games aren't really that
It doesn't matter if they win or lose.
Correct. There was a time when they were very important and very prestigious and you wanted to win those games. Now I don't know. I mean, they still want to, but it's not a big deal if they lose. And so I think if you are a fan of a team, you just go in and just like, let's have fun with this. If we win, awesome. If we don't, then big deal. We lost the Pop-Tart Bowl. We didn't get to eat the mascot. I think that there is a lot of value. I think the one thing I would say is I used to be able to just sit down and I looked forward to bowl week or whatever it was on ESPN where you just watch college football all day for a week straight. I don't do that anymore. And that's nothing wrong with it, but I also don't sit around and watch a lot of spring games because it doesn't interest me.
But it is a case where the playoffs do replace that, you know, that feeling of must watch games. So I'm okay. If they cut back on the bowl games, fine. So be it. I'm not looking to, sit and watch every team play, but to watch my team play, see the younger guys, I'm okay with it. Let's get, though, to the playoffs, Dustin. And a year ago, you and I leading up to it, we were huge fans of the 12-team playoff. My reaction to the reality of it, it came through, okay? Mm-hmm. And going into it, I said the best thing that they could do were home playoff games. Guess what? I got to attend a home playoff game. The atmosphere was incredible, Dustin. It was great. It was phenomenal. And that was in State College, PA. But watching the games, the other venue, just as good. It was fantastic. And we're going to get that again coming up this weekend. Home environment. James Madison's at Oregon. Alabama's at Oklahoma. Tulane at Ole Miss. Miami at Texas A&M. I'm going to be watching every game. Is there any one of those four games that you are particularly interested in watching?
I would say Miami, Texas A&M is one that really stands out to me because I think that those are two very similar teams. I think at times Miami's looked really good. There has been times like Texas A&M has looked really good, but they've had games where, you know, they did not look like a playoff team. So that one in particular, I mean, these Alabama, Oklahoma, I think is going to be an interesting one because I think that that's, I've said this, I think on the last episode, I think that whatever team wins that game is going to give Indiana some problems. Not saying they'll beat Indiana, but I think that those two teams can hang with the Hoosiers. Ole Miss, Tulane. I think if Lane Kiffin wasn't, it was still coaching Ole Miss, I don't have much interest in this. But because of the situation that unfolded there in Oxford, that makes that a more entertaining game to me.
Yes, I agree. And you know what? When the playoffs were created and we knew we were going to get at least one group of five team, we knew there was going to be potential for mismatches there. And this year, because of the quirk with the ACC, we got two of those teams in James Madison and Tulane. You know what? I'm still going to watch those games and root for the upset, Dustin, just like I do in the NCAA tournament. Who's the lower seed team? That's who I'm rooting for.
Yeah, I think most people will be doing that. I think everybody is going to be cheering for James Madison and for Tulane. I think those are the two teams that are going to be the perennial favorites in all of those in those two games, like all across the country, because you want to see upsets. It's just like the NCAA tournament. You want to see those teams that don't really get much of a chance take down the one seed or the two seed or whatever it might be. And college football is not any different.
It isn't. And I don't know if you've seen any of this, and I wish I could remember the exact quote, but James Madison's social media was taking shots at Oregon. You know, you never know. There could be a surprise. Oregon could play better than expected. they were kind of taking that tack, and I love that. You know,
yeah.
So they're going in with confidence that, you know, that they could be competitive. But, you know, I don't think it's fair to look at those games. We saw some of the results last year where there were mismatches in that first round. But we saw that even when there were four team playoffs. And, you know, Dustin, there's the promise. And let's say Oregon and Ole Miss win those games as expected against those group of five teams. Let me just set up for you what it looks like for the next round. Oregon versus Texas Tech. Either Alabama or Oklahoma, which to me it's kind of a toss-up game. Even though it's at Oklahoma, Alabama, last I looked, they are a small favorite. But the winner of that game plays Indiana. How about Ole Miss, Georgia, and then either Miami or Texas A&M against Ohio State? That is a lot of great football.
Yeah, and we're going to have some really good matchups, really fun matchups. I think there are some interesting matchups in the first round, but once you get to the quarterfinals, when you get there, we're going to have some really good football games and all of them. No, three of them on New Year's Day, one of them on New Year's Eve. So buckle up for those.
Yeah, definitely. And what we're also getting, Dustin, which I think is great, Ohio State was probably the closest to an obvious favorite during the regular season. Well, guess what? You know, Indiana took them down. Now, you and I don't know if you did. I know I picked Indiana for that game.
Yes,
my feeling is, though, if they play again in the playoffs, Ohio State will stick it to them.
Sure.
I still believe Ohio State to be the best team in the country. Who else are you looking at, though, in this tournament that you say, well, if not Ohio State, then
who? I think it's going to be Indiana. I think that they are, if you would say Ohio, I think Ohio State has the best talent. Indiana still may have the best team. Now, I did say after that game, that the championship game, I thought Indiana would assert itself as like the number one team and show us why. I actually think Ohio State looked like the better team for most of that game. They just had some stupid play calls in pivotal times. I tell you what, I would say those two. I'd also – I think Texas Tech is really good. And I don't know if they can keep up for that amount of time, but that would be cut. And I know it's hard to say it's a sleeper at the number four seed. I would put them in that category, though.
But they're a sleeper as a Big 12 team. Yeah. But what I think is different about this Texas Tech team is, oh, by the way, they play defense.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something we're not accustomed to seeing in the Big 12.
No, I think the assumption from people who haven't been watching Texas Tech play is, oh, Big 12 team, they probably, you know, they win most of their games 55-50. And that is not the case with Texas Tech. In fact, probably it's their defense that's leading the way. And I'm not sure, Dustin, but I'm thinking this age of the transfer portal and the NIL that everybody loves to complain about, I think it's actually brought more parity, not less, to the game.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana's a perfect example of that, Texas Tech. And we'll see how it goes in the playoff. If you have if you have the Final Four that's Ohio State, Alabama, Oregon, and
Georgia,
then people are going to say, oh, it's still the rich getting richer. Yeah, it's great that some of these other teams got in. But again, we've had a 68-team tournament for how many years, and it took how long for a 16 to upset a 1? So it's kind of like one of those things where the lower ranked team or the non-power programs are now finally getting a chance. And yeah, maybe they're not getting a win in the playoff or they're not upsetting a team, but they're putting themselves in position, and it's just a matter of time before something like that happens.
And you know what? Even if it did end up Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, you know, round up the usual suspects, I want to see the quality of the games. I really can't wait to see Indiana play either Alabama or Oklahoma. And I don't know about you. I've been on the, you know what, I got to see more from Indiana. Well, what I saw from them against Ohio State in the conference championship, I don't want to say it doesn't matter at all what happens next. I mean, if they lose by 35 points, maybe that'll change my feeling. I can't see them getting blown out, though.
No.
If not winning, I suspect they're going to be very competitive.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think Indiana is I think they are still a top two team. And I hard to say top two. They beat the number one team and they're undefeated. But like, even in this situation where they're going to be playing against premier talent the rest of the way, like, I think Indiana is one or two in the country, and they're not getting blown. If you're going to have to beat them, this isn't, you got to forget about pre-2024 Indiana. This is a completely new program.
It really is. And the other one is Texas Tech. Again, if we assume Oregon beats James Madison, it's going to be Oregon, Texas Tech. And you know what? I'm going to be really excited to watch that game, Dustin. So there'll be good games this week, but that next round, as you put the quarterfinals, they are going to be absolutely fantastic college football. All right, Dustin, that's going to be it for the show. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. And make sure that you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.